Deliberate woman is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour, apostolic side of turning congregation, Mount Zion, for 12th down, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 15, 2016, August 18, 13, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, How Great Thou Art. Yahweh, when I had awesome one day, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder that powers throughout the universe display. It sings my soul, my Savior, Yah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. It sings my soul, my Savior, Yah, to thee. How great the heart, how great the heart. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, Yah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that Yah's Son, not sparing, is in heaven to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior, Yah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Yahshua shall come with the shout of acclamation and take me home, with joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim my Yahshua, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, Yah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, Yah, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Justification through the Yeshua. This is going to be the name of our sermon today. We're going to start with Romans chapter 5. And we're going to start with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by the faith, I'm going to supply the missing words that needs to be in there. I'm going to supply the articles and the prepositions where they're missing, so you can understand it aright. Therefore, being justified by the faith in the blood of the Yeshua, we have peace with Yahweh through our Savior, Yeshua, the Messiah. By whom also we have access by the faith in His blood into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Elohim, of the Father. Now, you cannot understand the word grace and how to apply the word grace unless you use the word blood that is not in there. So that's the reason why I supply the missing words, to give you more of a clarification of what other words mean. Now let's read that again. By whom also we have access. In other words, we have a channel. We have a new channel, and which is accomplished by the faith in His blood, or in the blood of the Lamb, or any way you want to put it, into this grace. This grace, what grace? Grace is a personal, specific pronoun talking about this special ordinance that has been given to us, and that's the ordinance of the blood of the Yeshua. Now this is a new one. Now, where do we get that idea for calling Yahshua's blood an ordinance? We get that from Exodus chapter 12, where it talks about the Passover as a type coming out of Egypt. The Lamb itself, and I'll read it to you, is an ordinance. Also in Luke 22, you'll find out the Passover to be observed yearly. The Lamb itself is called the ordinance of the Passover. Okay, so now here in Exodus chapter 12, it says in verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Yahweh throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Now, by an is a prepositional phrase. Ordinance is the noun. Now, those of us that are called to be teachers, we have to learn the correct application of the words of the English language. Okay? Now, this is something that I can teach you a great deal about, but you have to be a willing student and realize how important it is that you do this. It's important when you talk about the holy day, any holy day, that you call it by its right name, and you call it a holy day. The Passover day, the preparation day, is not a holy day. It's the day that the Lamb, which is the Passover, is separated, had been separated since the 10th day of the of that month, or the first month. And he'd been held for 4 days in a holding pen. And on the 14th day, He was taken out, and he was chilled, and he was prepared for the supper event that was to come on that evening after going down the sun on the 14th day. So the 14th day is a memorial to be observed very emphatically every year, to be followed, because that lamb has to be slain before the 15th day comes on. It has to be slain in the hours of the 14th day, which is not a holy day. I make mention of that because Jeff White, with your article, and you have a very good article that I just received, and I'm looking at it, in which I'm going to edit your article, and the words that I'm put in there, you will know by comparing the two. But I'm going to edit your article. It's a very fine article. And it's worth publishing with just a little tweaking. And that's all I'm going to do. But it's very important when you say the 14th day, then quote Leviticus 23 on that. When you say the 14th day of the Passover, when you quote Leviticus 23, make sure that you make the differentiation between verse 5 and 6. In Leviticus 23, because it says in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Yahshua's Passover, simply meaning that the Passover is participated in at the beginning of the 15th day, because it says on verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto the Yahweh 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So the only time that you partake of the Passover is in the holy hours of the 15th day. That's when the unleavened bread is partaken of. You can eat regular bread on the 14th day.
Regular unleavened.
Huh?
Regular unleavened.
But, no, you can eat, you can, on the 14th day of the first month, you can eat the regular bread. But only on the 15th day, you cannot eat regular bread. And you put the regular bread off your property on the 14th day, at least no later than the 14th day. You clean every crumb of anything that has leaven in it off your property on the 14th day. But you can eat leavened bread on the 14th day, but you cannot eat the leavened bread on the 15th day. I make that distinction so it'll make it clear to you that the 14th day of the first month is not a holy day. But when you say in your writings, the 14th day of the Passover, you're referring to it as a holy day. And it's not a holy day. People lose sight then of what the week of unleavened bread means. The first day of the week of unleavened bread is a holy day. It's a holy convocation. It's on the 15th day. And that's when you partake of the Yahshua's Passover. That's when you eat the bread and you drink the wine. And that's the emblems, that's the ordinance that took the place of the roasted lamb in the Old Testament. Okay, that point has to be emphatically. So on your track, I'm going to change that Passover of the 14th. I'm going to change it from the 14th. I'm going to put the word, the number 15 in there. Because also on the 15th day of the Passover, I mean 15th day of the unleavened bread, is a full moon, totally full moon. You don't have a full moon on the 14th day. You have a full moon on the 15th, showing that it coordinates with the holy day and the exact middle of the month. The 14th day is not the middle of the month. Okay. So now, let's go back now to Romans chapter 5. It says in verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Yahweh is shed abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in the due time, Yahshua died for the unrighteous." And another thing, Jeff White, when you're publishing your literature in the written form, you're dealing with the same doctrines that I'm dealing with, try to use essentially the words that I use. Like, I change that ungodly, I change it to unrighteous. God is a pagan terminology, and we try to avoid that unless we're just referring to the comparison between the pagan title and Yahweh's real name, or Yahshua's real name. Okay, so it says in Romans 5:7, "For a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man one will even dare to die." And it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us." Okay, so I'm going to change those two words. Verily, the Yahweh Elohim commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm going to read that again now. Verily, the Father, Yahweh, commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Yahshua, his Son, died for us. Died is a past tense adverb. Alright, because it ended in the ED. Well, Paul, he spoke the truth here, and yet he didn't understand how to explain it. And so I'm going to try to explain that a little bit to you there. Yahweh commended his love toward us. Now, Paul is talking in the present tense, and he's talking to the Gentile Romans. And he's including himself with them as sinners before the cross. Before Yahshua's death, he's putting himself with them as sinners together before the cross. So he's telling those Gentiles that while Yahshua, when he died for us while we were yet sinners. And he spoke the truth there. But yet, in Hebrews 9:15, it says that he died for the sins that were past. But yet, those Romans and Paul had not even recognized Yahshua as being the Savior up to that time, up to the cross. And they had not made confession. They had not had their names placed on the Lamb's Book of Life before Yahshua died. So it is true. And so if their names were not on the Book of Records in the Lamb's Book of Life when he died on the cross, then how in the world did Yahshua die for Paul and those Romans? He didn't. Or did he? He didn't die for their sins because they didn't have their name on the Lamb's Book of Life recorded And where they had sins made also on that record book, so Yahshua could look at his record book and say, well, these have sins against their record, but they have made atonement for them during the time of the Old Testament dispensation when they were up to the cross. They had already gone through the sanctuary system, and by the blood of the animal they got their sins remissed. No, Yahshua didn't have that record on Paul and these Romans up to the cross. When he died on the cross, their names was not in the Lamb's Book of Life. So how could Paul then claim that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Simply put, those that were living during the time of Yahshua's time, before the cross, they were, when Yahshua then brought judgment, he didn't bring judgment by his death now. Yahshua's death did not bring judgment. It was his resurrection and him taking all of those that he had died for that had their names in the record book. He took those records before the Father on the following Day of Atonement, after the Passover, which was 6 months later. But he didn't have Paul's name there to take his name before the Father on the Day of Atonement. So how in the world did he die for Paul and those Romans? Paul had to wait for 3.5 years for Yahshua to go to heaven, take all the record books of those from Adam clear down up to the time that he died, those that had followed the animal system of the Old Testament, and he took those records to heaven and made a remission for those in heaven on the Day of Atonement that year, that following year. So he said after he spent 40 days on this earth, after his resurrection, he spent 40 days and then he went to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And he took live trophies with him that he had resurrected, that was saved by his blood and his sacrifice on the cross, because they had followed the sanctuary system of the Old Testament faithfully. They had so therefore he was able to take and blot out their sins. Oh no, their sins were already blotted out. All he did was make remission for them. And then he took those records to heaven and presented them before the Father. He said, my Father, my Father, Father, my blood for these names in this record book. But Paul's name wasn't in there. He wasn't in there. If it had been, his sins had been blotted out on the 40th day when Yahshua returned to heaven. But nobody's really sins is blotted out until the Day of Atonement. So as Paul, Yahshua went to heaven 10 days before the Pentecost, and then you had about 6 weeks after Pentecost or so, or what it was, 2 months, I guess, until the Atonement. And then they had to wait till the Atonement to get their sins blotted out. But Paul and the Romans didn't have their names in there. In the book. They had to wait 3.5 years. So when Yahshua came back 3.5 years later, he met up with Paul on the way to Damascus. But let's go ahead and read now. And then Yahshua dealt with Paul's sins 3.5 years later. But if Yahshua hadn't died on the cross, Paul wouldn't have had no chance to have been dealt with. Yahweh made his blood available for everybody in the New Testament, but they have to acknowledge him and make confession of faith. So that's called the judgment of the living back then. Paul was living before the cross. He made a record as a sinner, and he acknowledged that he was the chiefest of sinners. And so he acknowledged that. But he acknowledged that only after 3.5 years later, when Yahshua met him on the road to Damascus, and he had that terrible event where he was knocked off his donkey and prostrate on the ground and made blind, and then he had to be led into the city to a prophet's house where he spent 3 days learning the new and living way. And he got acquainted with Yahshua for the first time on the road to Damascus. Paul didn't know who he was. And he says, I am the Messiah, the one that you've been fighting against. You can't continue to kick against the pricks. So Paul became converted, and Yahshua's blood of the new and living way covered his name, covered his record, and blotted out all of his sins. But Paul was living at the time that Yahshua died on the cross, so that's how Yahshua died for his sins. But his sins were kept in escrow for 3.5 years. Yahshua took and paid the price for them on the cross 3.5 years earlier, but he didn't blot them out. He did no way represent them before the Father. 3.5 years later, he could say, yeah, I died for you while you were yet sinners, because you was preordained the foundation of the world for this cause. All of those that are preordained, they're taken care of in like fashion, because you had a judgment for the living going on at the same time that you had a judgment for the dead also. But the judgment for the dead had to be taken care of first. That's what Yahshua took care of when he went back to heaven, the judgment of the dead first. Then he come back 3.5 years to show Paul how he takes care of the judgment of the living, those that was living during that time before and after the cross. If they make confession of faith, become converted, then his blood of the new and living way will cover their sins. All right. Now, Paul says here in Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood. So, Paul was only justified by his blood at this point. But he wasn't sanctified because he hasn't yet made it to the atonement. But when he makes it to the atonement, guess what? Then it's more than being justified. He is sanctified by getting his sins blotted out. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. See, we're saved. Then we're saved through him. And we have to wait patiently for Yahshua to do his work in the sanctuary above. He can only do one phase at a time at a certain time of the year. In the spring is the time that you celebrate the memorial of his great sacrifice. The Pentecost is when you celebrate the memorial of his outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and then at the atonement is when you celebrate the memorial of getting your sins blotted out and pardoned. Full pardon granted. And then now you know enough about how to follow the sanctuary system, and you know how to abstain from sinning anymore. So you just keep your record clean from then on, and then you don't have to go through that justification all over again. Being justified again. Being justified by repentance and remission of it, and the sprinkling of blood on the horns of the altar. It says out there in 1 John. Chapter 2, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua Messiah the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, anyone that wants to become converted, accept Yahshua and his blood offering, and learn the sanctuary system and how to walk in his footsteps now. Then you follow him through the sanctuary on a yearly basis. And you follow his ways, worshiping him only, and you will get full. You will get a full clean slate every year when he goes through the ritual of each one of those holy days, especially the atonement. Then you know that every year, as long as you're following him and doing it with all your heart, then you know that you have your sins completely taken care of, and you have a clean record. But if you're just slipping around, you're kind of slippery, slipshod, and you just hit and miss with it, but then he gets weary of it after a while. He gives you tests and trials to see if he can't get you to come up 100%. And if at the grand finale he can't do that, well, then he just takes your name completely out of his book of records, and he quits trying to intercede for you anymore, because he can't get you to become perfect. Many years of trying over and over again, he can't get you to become perfect. So at the final last atonement, he just says, "Well, I'm not able to make this person 100% clean." Because he hadn't applied himself 100%, so therefore I'm going to have to take him out of the book and leave him behind. Okay. So it says here in Romans 5, it says in verse 10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled," which is a past tense adverb again, "to Yahweh, the Father, by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So, those that was living at the time of the cross, before, they were termed as enemies to Yahshua. Well, the only hope that they had at that point was to be reconciled by the death of the Son. The enemies of Yahshua was reconciled by the death of the Father. I mean, by the death of the Son. They were reconciled unto the Father by his death. In other words, if they were preordained for salvation, and all they need to be as enemies, all they had to be was enlightened about their true condition, and they would confess and repent of that, then they were the ones that was reconciled by the death of the Son. And I can prove that to you right over there in Acts chapter 2 and 3. It proves that very point. These are those people that put Yahshua to death, helped put him to death, didn't have a clue that they had done that. And Paul was telling them, boy, he got on to them real good. He let them know what they had done. I'll go read it to you. And then they asked, "Well, what can we do to be saved?" Because and I'll read it to you. They were just like Paul. They were enemies to Yahshua, and even participated in hanging him on a cross, and so did Paul. He was part of those that was behind hanging Yahshua on a cross, stoning Stephen to death, and then continuing on until they hung Yahshua on a cross as another one of those malefactors. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 3. It says, "Now Peter," verse 1, "and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of the Yeshua Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh. And all the people saw him walking and praising Yahweh. Now this paraplegic that was sitting at the door of the temple, you think he had his name on the Lamb's Book of Life? He was apparently born that way. And the Pharisees would say, well, he was born in sin because he was a cripple. And he may have been born in sin. Matter of fact, I believe he probably was. But whenever he believed the truth, and he believed in the disciples and having the truth, and accepted what they said, it made him whole. And what did Yahshua say to Mary Magdalene? Where are thine accusers? And she says, I have, there are none. He said, neither do I accuse thee or condemn thee, but go and sin no more. So now here she is, a sinner. She don't have her name on the Lamb's Book of Life. But guess what? At the moment that he told her to go and sin no more, her sins were forgiven, and the angel put her name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Right then and there. That's how salvation works, folks, for the believer. That's how the salvation worked for this paraplegic. And all of a sudden, he became whole and well. He jumped up and walked. And I mean, he was healed. And he knew it. And he went praising Yahshua. The man's name went in the Lamb's Book of Life right then and there. So did the thief on the cross. By acknowledging Yahshua and just asking him for a favor or to remember him, that got his sins remissed and taken care of and brought it out. But the angel entered the name into the record book. And then whenever these holy days come by, then from then on, then those names are brought up on those holy days, on the atonement and so forth. And they are considered either for good or for bad. All right? They said in Acts 3:9, and all the people saw him walking and praising Yahweh, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Yea, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The Elohim of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, hath glorified his son Yahshua, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom Elohim hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those signs which Elohim before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Yahshua should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted. Okay, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh. Now here is a people right here that was with Paul before the cross doing the same thing that Paul was doing. Denying and persecuting the followers of Yahshua. And then ended up colluding together to hang Yahshua on the cross with the Romans and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They all colluded together. And they put Yahshua on the cross and killed the only hope of ever having any eternal life. And what does Paul tell them? Repent you therefore and be converted. Now, goodness, 3.5 years after the cross. Well, Paul was so excited that he went through that to a conversion that saved him. But he had to do the same things he's asking these people to do. He said, repent. That's what I had to do. Therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh. When are the times of refreshing? On the Day of Atonement. That's your times of refreshing your records. You get your sins blotted out, and all of a sudden your whole record is clean again and has been refreshed. And he shall send Yahshua Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which Elohim has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Yahshua your Messiah raise up. A prophet shall the Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now, Paul is telling them, And Moses truly saith unto the Father, a prophet shall the Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren. Of your brethren. Well, Yahshua was one of those prophets raised up unto them. He was one of the brethren. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, whoever is raised up among you, and you don't hear that prophet, shall be destroyed from among the people. That's exactly what happened at Gilead Center. I feel so sad for Verlis W. Johnson not having gotten this vision. If Verlis Johnson had, instead of teaching Christ didn't die for your sins and got him thrown off the radio, he was only on the radio 5 times, and when he preached that sermon, Christ didn't die for your sins, they threw him off the radio and called him that he told him he was an enemy of Yahshua. So you're the enemy of Jesus Christ. Teaching things like that, you're the enemy. You're the enemy. And Brother Johnson truly was the enemy, because he was showing no mercy. He was showing no understanding at all about the subject. He thought he had some new meat, and he thought it would be a shocker and shock the people. And he realized, well, my goodness, if Christ didn't die for me, then what hope have I got? Then they'd have to come to Brother Johnson, and he'd show him the new hope. But Brother Johnson didn't understand the new hope. He didn't understand the old hope. He didn't understand any of this stuff. That's the reason why he ended up like he did, and it's so sad. It's just so sad when I think about it. He had the same information in front of him as I've got now. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which Elohim made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. He's telling these Gentiles now. He said, you are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which Elohim made with our fathers. He says, you Gentiles, you're the children of these prophets. And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, Elohim, having raised up his son Yahshua, sent him to bless you and turn away every one of you from his iniquity. And it says here, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Elohim made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And you first, Elohim, having raised up his son Yahshua, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Peter and John persecuted. That's in Acts chapter 4. But guess what? We're going to go back now and we're going to read Acts chapter 2 and probably end up on that. Let's first read Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Let's read verse 7 on. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time. Let's read from verse, let's just start with verse 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yahshua began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, unto whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of Yahweh, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with the water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Master, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Yahshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. Now, he's going to come in like manner. In other words, he is going to come right down through those clouds. And he's going to come and you're going to see him. He's going to stand right in your midst. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Yahshua, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Yahshua. For he was numbered with us, and hath obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst. And all his bowels gushed out, and it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, that his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, meaning office, let his office let another take. Now this is exactly Meta's fulfillment at Kermit, Texas, 2002. Okay, I have taken that office. That I have that bishopric, and I think that's found in Psalms 109. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time, that the Yeshua Messiah went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? And they appointed two, Joseph called Barabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou Yahweh, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by the transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay, I was going a little bit faster on verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. I said Barabbas. No, that's Barsabbas. Okay. And chapter 2 of Acts, verse 1. And when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, Pentecost is a holy day, and it comes on the first day of the week. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? This is going to happen again. Jeff White, I want to reiterate there, in Africa, as you hear this message, know for surety that you can accomplish the same thing in Africa as we're accomplishing here. Because I want to give you a scripture that was given to me that day in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16. And this applies now. This applies here and now. Okay, it says, Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now I am by proxy laying hands on you to accomplish exactly in Africa what Peter and John accomplished on that day when they raised up that paraplegic and made him of a sound mind and a sound body. We're at that place again. This is the message we must teach. Not going forward showing, trying to prove that Christ didn't die for anybody in the New Testament. Forget that thing. Forget that thing. Don't go there no more. Teach how he died for us according to the scriptures. Now, I can go for that. Because, anyway, it says here in 1 Timothy 4, it says, verse 15, Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy prophecy may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, if you're going to teach that subject, that Christ, who he died for before and after the cross, and how he died for him, then you have to go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And you need to start with that right there and then go to all those other verses that talks about before and after the cross. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. In other words, the plan of salvation through the blood of Yahshua, which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that the Messiah, Yahshua, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and of whom the greater part remain at this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now Paul was born again 3.5 years after the cross. Okay, he was born again in the New Testament. He was born first of the flesh in the Old Testament. But he was born again in the New Testament, and that makes all the difference in the world. He's a new person. Then he comes under the blood of the New Testament Scriptures. If you're born again of the Spirit, then you come under the blood of the New Testament. Now that's another point we've got to consider. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of Yahweh. By the grace of Elohim, I am what I am, and his grace, this is that grace again. If you've entered into that grace of Yahshua, then you are a special preordained person from the foundation of the world, and there is special considerations made for people that are preordained as opposed to those that are not. Because those that are not preordained for salvation, they never get salvation, unless it's a special miracle that they are somehow grafted in, because they did do something that is not natural, and that is to accept the Yahshua Messiah by virtue of the evidence of what they see before their eyes, and they lay a hold, and this, and that, and Isaiah 56 covers that. Talks about the eunuch and the stranger that's within your gates. Okay, if he lays a hold of the covenant, then he can also have privilege to the same promises made to the house of Israel, that they can inherit the same promises. If they lay hold of the covenant, even if they are not preordained from the foundation of the world. But by the grace of Elohim, I am what I am, and his grace is which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of Elohim which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Yahshua be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no, there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Yahshua not risen? And if Yahshua be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Ye and we are all found false witnesses of Yahweh, because we have testified of Yahweh that he raised up Yahshua, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Or if the dead rise not, then is not Yahshua raised. Now Paul was spiritually dead on the way to Damascus 3.5 years after the cross. He was spiritually dead. He was a dead man, spiritually. He didn't have anything in the book of records or anything. He was spiritually raised up from the dead. And if Yahshua be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. And if Yahshua be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sin. Well, you had sins before he died, and your sins remain on the book of records, and he raised up, and now he has been revealed unto you for the first time, 3.5 years after the cross. Now he's been revealed unto you because he has appointed me to go to the Gentiles. And that appointment came 3.5 years after the cross. And now is your opportunity to believe in the new and living way. And now you are covered by the blood of the new and living way, because up to now you have been spiritually dead in your sins that was not blotted out by his death on the cross. This is called the new and living way, and I'm going to close this service now with Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in the Yahshua Messiah, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. So if you're born again and you abandon the flesh, you walk after spirit, for the law of the spirit of life in Yahshua Messiah hath made me free from the law of sin and death of the old covenant. This may end us to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this sermon and more. We're going to close now with a song. A Friend in Yahshua, written by the Elijah David. I have a friend in Yahshua. He's all the world in me. He walked the long and lonely pathway of Calvary. He trod the rough and rocky road. He spat upon his face. He felt there.